You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast from 1600 ESPN. It's the Gym Class with Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on 1600 ESPN KGYM.
Welcome aboard on a Wednesday edition of the show, the midweek edition of the Gym Class from the Eakin Nutrition Studios here on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. Scott Unash with you. Mark Dukes joining me as well. Isaac on the other side of the glass. We got a great show coming up for you. Mark Ironside, the Hall of Famer, will be joining us. We'll look back on the Hawkeye dual wins over Nebraska and Minnesota. Ben Keeter's inaugural trip to the mat. We'll talk about that. College wrestling, a whole lot more with Mark. We'll do that coming up here in just a little bit. Take a look back at last night's Iowa State defeat at Brigham Young. The Iowa women with a win last night over the Wisconsin Badgers for the 28th straight time. And a whole lot more. Including, a little bit of college football news. Not official as of yet, but a little bit of college football news. All that and more here on 1600 ESPN, as well as 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, the KGYM radio stream, mobile app, and smart speaker as well. Hi, Isaac. Your car started. Good for you, buddy.
Yep, everything was a lot easier to get in now that the weather's warmed up just a little bit there. It's pretty balmy out now. It's not too cold at all.
Feels great. It's 17. Woo-hoo! Wait till it gets into 30s. Mark, good afternoon. How you doing?
Good afternoon to you and Isaac and everyone out there. And happy mid-week edition of the Gym Class. And looking forward to Ironside and everything else we have.
And we got a lot to get to. Basketball. We mentioned we're going to talk some wrestling coming up in just a little bit, but I think according to social networking and whatnot, the one thing that everybody seems to be zeroed in on at the present time is college football news, and that is, in fact, the top story on the right side of CBSSports.com, and that is Caden Proctor, the former Southeast Polk star. Left tackle, first ever true freshman to start at the left tackle spot for the Crimson Tide of Alabama, top five in the 2023 class. You know all the accolades. According to numerous reports, including from Dean Straka of CBS Sports, that Caden Proctor is going to enter the transfer portal. He will be one of a dozen or so players who have entered the portal after the departure of Nick Saban as the coach of the Crimson Tide. And already people in Eastern Iowa, Central Iowa, Western Iowa, wherever you are, if you are a Hawkeye fan, a lot of people salivating at the prospect of number 74 playing left tackle for the Iowa Hawkeyes next year at Kinnick Stadium. It's only speculation as of right now, though, Mark.
Well, I think it's a little bit more than that. I think Proctor will be in the portal if he isn't already. And it's a natural leap to say Iowa is the front runner. I mean, after all, Proctor committed to Iowa in June of 2022, saying, "You got my everything." 6 months later, he was an Alabama Crimson Tide player. He committed there, flipping his commitment. And I noticed some comments out there, why would Proctor want to return to his home state when he was treated so poorly when he chose Alabama? One indication, and it's not scientific, but I look back on Proctor's Twitter feed from December of 22 when he announced for Alabama, there were 800 and some odd comments from people. And overwhelmingly, I didn't look through all 800, but skimmed them. Overwhelmingly, people were congratulating him on his his commitment. Many of them Iowa fans, self-professed Iowa fans. There were a few who felt like he was a quote-unquote traitor, but I think that's a false narrative. I think people, including the Iowa coaches, wished him well, and whether he ends up in an Iowa uniform, you know, Iowa fans would obviously welcome that. But it's, I guess it's just one step right now, and natural connection with Xavier Wampa, his former teammate at Southeast Polk, and you can connect as many dots as you want, but until it's official, you know, we really don't. He's going to have a lot of suitors.
Yes, he is. I was just going to say that, Mark. He's going to have a lot of people picking up their phones and contacting Caden Proctor at this point. And, yes, that includes 7706 Penn State. They are in the mix as well. A lot of texts coming in as far as Caden Proctor is concerned. And a good one, I think, from 0835 to start things off. If the news ends up coming in the Hawks' favor, we all need to forget Caden had an up-and-down freshman year against a lot of talent, and I think this kid will be better with a year under his belt. The whole situation ended up kind of crudding on both sides, but everyone needs to move on and give the kid a chance. If he does come, I would absolutely believe Kirk would welcome him back with open arms. It would be a huge addition to a lackluster offensive line, and would love to see him back. Work your magic, Swarm. I would agree. I would agree. Come on home, says Dwayne, and bring eight or nine of your friends with you. I tell you what, I am really, besides the whole Caden Proctor thing, Mark, I am really shocked that this many players, and a lot of them four-star guys, a couple three-stars, several five-stars, are abandoning Alabama at this time with DeBoer coming in along with Ryan Grubb. I guess it just shows that you can't be surprised in 2024. And I would think that you'd want to play for DeBoer, but maybe I'm wrong. Maybe Saban had that much influence over that Alabama football program.
Well, it's a classic argument. Do you commit to a school or do you commit to a coach? And I suppose every kid feels differently. At the time, how could Proctor go wrong going to Alabama? I was in the playoffs this year. And, yeah, he had kind of an up-and-down year, but he had a pretty decent year for a first-year freshman. Did allow some sacks, but that's some quality opponents that he's playing, without a doubt. Started 14 games for Alabama, and why he is choosing, apparently, to enter the portal, I would say Saban, as much as anything. And, you know, maybe he's homesick, you know, who knows. But Cajun Troy believes he's going to go to Georgia. They're normally in the playoffs. Georgia will be in the mix. Oregon will be in the mix. Ohio State, Penn State, you name the school. But Iowa's going to be a front runner, I got to believe.
319-366-1600. Yes, Phil Parker would love Caleb Downs as well, who's also going into the transfer portal. He's another all-freshman SEC pick, a five-star. Can we afford him? 7148 asks. Isn't that amazing in this day and age? Can we afford to bring in Caden Proctor if you're an Iowa football fan? Yeah, they're going to find the means to do so. And, yeah, 1345 with a very good point. Even if he comes to Iowa, one man isn't the entire offensive line. And we all know how that went the last couple of years. Yes, Coach Prime, I'm sure, is giving him a call as well sometime here today or a text. 319-366-1600 as we work our way through a Wednesday edition of the Gym Class. I'll say this, Proctor, if you watched Alabama and the SEC, Proctor did have a very up and down start the first month, four or five games for Alabama, but he was a very consistent cog on that offensive line down the stretch for the Crimson Tide, and was really good. And keep in mind, First, think about this. First left tackle, true freshman, to start in the history of Alabama football. That says, that statement says a whole lot.
No question about it. And in terms of affording him, maybe that'll play a factor. I don't know. With the NIL, maybe it did when he flipped from Iowa to Alabama. I'm not naive to that fact. But listen, whoever gets Proctor is, they're going to have him for 2 years, probably.
More than likely.
He'll go to the NFL, get his plenty of money then. And, you know, you don't know how important it is to various players, this having money right now. I don't know. Every kid feels different, I suppose.
Yeah. 1424 says Iowa has a real shot, was originally committed, and Iowa puts guys in the National Football League. For those saying he wasn't treated well when he decommitted, he was treated worse by Bama fans when he was playing for them. Yeah, there were some nasty things directed toward Caden Proctor in the first part of the season by Alabama folks. Got better as the season progressed, as he got better. Listen, that's the way it's going to be anywhere. To be honest with you, great example. Who's the most popular player on campus? The backup quarterback. In most instances, 90% of the instances. Not when you have a Caleb Williams or whatever the case may be. That is not always the case, but I don't know. We'll find out. There's going to be a lot of suitors for Caden Proctor, and if this is true, and it, by all indications, it appears to be that he is going to go into the transfer portal. And it may have taken a circuitous route, but he may end up in Iowa City yet, playing for the Hawks. We'll see.
He may. And Iowa does return all five of its starters from the bowl game, but it's the classic thing, you know, returning from what type of thing. We know about the woes of the offensive line, and a guy like Proctor really would give Iowa a shot in the arm.
It wouldn't. Remember, all five were all Big Ten, honorable mention or higher, as far as the offensive line is concerned. Proctor, if he comes, would be the left tackle. Mason Richmond, the left tackle from a year ago. Does he move to the right side? Dunkers is over there. Does he move somewhere else? You've got a little bit of wiggle room. Obviously, Feth, I don't believe Feth is back. Is he, Mark?
He is not.
Okay. So there is an opening right there at left guard. You know, maybe Mason Richmond. He's more of a tackle guy than a guard guy. Connor Colby is an entrenched at the right guard. Logan Jones is entrenched at center, you got to believe. It just gives the offense a little bit more to work with. Always good to have depth when you're talking football. Always good to have that. 3:18, we're going to talk to Mark Ironside coming up in just a little bit. Hawkeye wrestling, college wrestling in general, as a big weekend for not only Iowa but for other teams. We will discuss that with Mark, and we will do that coming up here in just a little bit. Tell you what, Mark Dukes, would you like to go ahead and give us an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update at this time? Brought to you by Emil's Hideaway and First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids prior to Mark Ironside's appearance.
I would be happy to, Scott.
Why don't you go ahead and do that?
All right. On the scoreboard today, the PGA Tour resumes action tomorrow at the American Express Pro-Am. Zach Johnson involved. He will play with Brant Snedeker at 11:47 Central Time. He will; those two will play La Quinta. This is a tournament where the cut is after three rounds. All the players play three courses before the final cut. Iowa, Indiana women's basketball attracted over a million viewers over the weekend, the third highest women's basketball game ever shown on Fox. Division I baseball publication has ranked Iowa number 20 in the nation entering this season. The Hawkeyes begin play 1 month from Friday. And UConn plays Creighton tonight, the newly minted Huskies. $2 beer night for that game. That was announced in December, actually, when UConn posted its promotional schedule. And news of interest for you, Scott, there's a lake effect snow warning in Buffalo, maybe lasting until Saturday, 1 to 3 feet.
Oh, God.
Not expected to affect the game, but certainly maybe Kansas City's plans to get into Buffalo and make preparations.
I will not be attending, so it's not going to influence me one way.
Hey, you make $20 an hour shoveling snow.
They just gave up before the Pittsburgh game. I mean, the videos of folks trudging in, literally trudging to their seats through, you know, several feet of snow, does not look like a whole lot of fun to me. Isaac?
Neither does throwing someone through tables, and the Bills fans do that too. So just a different fan base.
Oh, they upped it. Did you see video?
They went on top of the fire. Yeah, they lit on fire. Yeah.
That, come on, people, that's not good.
They love it. I don't know what it is with that fan base, but they, whatever it is, they just are a little bit, have something in their head that's different than every other NFL fan, I guess.
I get sure, I can see if you want to jump on a table, that's fine. But lighting it on fire before you do it is just, that's ludicrous. That just doesn't make any sense. That's crazy. Crazy stuff. 319-366-1600 here on the gym class on KGYM as we take you through a Wednesday edition of the program. We will get to Caitlin Clark coming up in just a little bit for 8186. We're going to take a break and we'll come back. Mark Ironside will join us when we return.
Eastern Iowa weather from 1600 ESPN.
I'm meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your weather first forecast, and we are going to have more clouds building in as we head through this afternoon. Temperatures are going to be in the teens and wind chills get above zero as well. Later on this evening, a narrow band of snow will lead to some minor accumulation somewhere in the area. Then tomorrow will be cloudy with temperatures around 10. We'll have a higher chance for snow as we head into tomorrow evening, mainly after 4 p.m., and 1 to 3 inches of fluffy accumulation will be possible. That's your latest Iowa News Now weather first forecast.
This is a test of the emergency alert system. This concludes this test of the emergency alert system.
Breaking Benjamin, live in concert in Cedar Rapids. With special guests, Daughtry, and Catch Your Breath. See them live at Alliant Energy Powerhouse Arena, Friday, April 5th. Get tickets now at firstfleetconcerts.com. For more, visit breakingbenjamin.com. Get tickets now.
If you haven't been to a Quick Start lately and taken advantage of all the great savings with Quick Start's Quick Hot Savings, then I've got a reason for you to go today. They have their Kitchen Cravings 12-ounce packs of bacon on sale for $2.49. That's $2.49. They're practically giving the stuff away. I know I'm thinking about all the dishes that we can make at home 10 times better by adding bacon to them. That's $2.49 bacon and Quick Hot Star savings from Quick Star. It's just another reason for you to stop at your neighborhood Quick Star on your way home today, as well as their delicious take-home meals with prices starting as low as $5 for some of your favorites, including fettuccine Alfredo with grilled chicken, beef stroganoff, mac and cheese, and meatloaf with mashed potatoes and gravy, all at your neighborhood Quick Star.
Life's better when you're under our roof because our agents can help you choose insurance to help protect what matters most. Life insurance from American Family Life Insurance Company can help financially protect your loved ones by replacing a portion of your income if you were to pass away. That means your family could have the help they need to continue to pursue their dreams.
Contact Kirk Gustafson, agent at 1715 Johnson Avenue Northwest in Cedar Rapids, or call 319-363-7214 today.
Products not available in all states. American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
American Family Insurance.
So you're getting fired up now.
Well, something's got to warm us up. And it ain't going to be that freaking Arctic plunge on Saturday night, I can tell you that. I am really, really dreading it. Always the week of, I'm like, no, I just...
What about your other half?
It's Maggie?
Is she dreading it?
Well, she should be if she's not, but... She should be the one that jumps for me because she hasn't done anything as far as pledges. She hasn't gotten a single pledge yet. I'm the one doing all the pledges. So if I'm doing all that hard work, she can just go jump for the two of us.
Jump just twice.
Yeah, exactly. Throw her in. It's like, that's what you get. I was down in the room the other day before the Minnesota meeting. We got a workout in and sauna'd and then jumped to the cold pool there right outside the sauna, and I made myself stay in there for a full entire minute, and that was rough. I was training for the Arctic plunge.
Training for it. We're going to talk about that and more coming up. Mark Ironside joining us here in studio. His appearance brought to you by Kurt Gustafson, Agency of American Family Insurance. Kurt, located on Johnson Avenue Northwest, right across from the Johnson Avenue Hy-V. And a lot of things to talk about. Lots of things to discuss, good and mainly good. I'd say 85% really good.
Yeah. Yeah. We had a good showing against Nebraska on Friday night. The Hawks wrestled fairly well. They did good for the most part. Teske took a step backwards. He beat that guy in the finals of the Soldier Salute and then got his butt whipped in on that dual meet, which is why we saw Kale Peterson wrestle against Minnesota, and then we're going to see Colin Shriver wrestle against Purdue tomorrow or Friday night. So Tom, he's looking at all options, and he wants to see who's going to go out there and who's going to do their job and perform, and I don't think anybody has the head nod over anybody else at this point, so it's kind of up in the air. But I think overall for Nebraska, it was a good dual meet for the Hawks, and we should have had some majors for sure. 25, we should have had a major. 65, Caliendo should have had a major. Real Woods, 141 should have had a major. I'm not really sure what's up with Real, but he is just not, for a guy that's ranked number one undefeated, he's just not putting up, you know, the points on the board like he should be. And it's kind of, one of these times it's probably going to come back to haunt him. And just kind of like what it did for Franek, you know, on Monday night against Minnesota, against Blockus. Yeah. You know, you sit around and on this, you know, one takedown wins type of wrestling mentality, and all of a sudden someone sneaks a takedown and the game over. And I mean, Blockus is ranked 19th. We're ranked second, and he just didn't do enough, and he didn't do anything in the second period. And I'm sure like we were talking on the radio, Steven and I think he got away in the second period, and in like a minute and 49 seconds, he had left to wrestle in the second period, and he didn't do anything. He, as soon as he got taken down right at the end of the match, he'd give anything to have that minute and 49 seconds back. That's why you have to wrestle every second like it's the last at all times. It doesn't matter, and that's what's kind of frustrating to watch sometimes. But bouncing around a lot, I know. Zach Glazier, though, against Nebraska, beats the defending, you know, Big Ten champion, All Red. Now, All Red wasn't like some spectacular Big Ten champ because 97 was kind of a weak weight for us last year, or a weak weight in the Big Ten last year. But he still went out and beat the defending Big Ten champ and beat him handily with a major decision.
Yeah.
So hats off to Zach Glazier, who's really stepped up and done so good for the Hawks this year, you know, starting even from the Iowa State meet, you know, when the duel was on the line. And he had another good win against, what was that guy's name? Something Coles or something from Minnesota? Joel's from Minnesota, you know. So, but yeah, we looked good against Nebraska overall. But then I think we took a step back as a team against Minnesota for sure. We could have done a lot more there, and performed a lot better. Drake Aiello, man, did he look good. He got taken down against taken down and ridden for quite a while against McKee, but then, man, how he came back, though, in the second and third periods, he got the takedowns when he needed them, and he didn't wait for – that's a prime example of how you don't wait and play the clock and wait till the very end to score and try and win at the end. And that was a perfect, perfect example of how it's done. And kudos to Drake Aiello and for going out, getting behind, not getting flustered or throwing the – kitchen sink too early or anything, just stay the course and did really well and beat McKee for the second time now in a row within 2 weeks of each other, who he'd been beat by four times before. Now, obviously, Friday night against Purdue really doesn't have anything other than 25. We should win. We got a chance to win all 10 matches, but should win 9 for sure. But the biggest match and the highlight of the dual meet is going to be right out of the gate at 125 with Drake Aiello versus Ramos of Purdue, who obviously Ramos is the one that beat and pinned Spencer Lee at the national tournament last year and almost pinned him a couple of times in the dual meet last year.
Tough.
So he's dangerous. He's tough. National finals last year. But he has also been beat four times this year, which is kind of surprising. So I'm not sure what's going on there, but he's ranked 2 or ranked 1. Drake's up to number 1 ranking. So that's going to be a really fun matchup right out of the gate if we start at 25. And I sure hope Tony Ursland, the coach at Purdue, you know, just starts regularly at 25 and doesn't try and pull something out of the hat.
Mark, I'm glad you mentioned Zach Glazier. Watching the Nebraska meet, the TV guys said Franek was the MVP of the meet. While it was a good win, I thought Glazier was the MVP. And he's clinched, what, 3 or 4 duels now before getting to the heavyweight match. And this guy from just across the border, what makes him so clutch?
It's just his mentality. He's just such a good blue-collar kid where he just doesn't care. Like, he's like, I'm just ready to scrap. I just want to wrestle, you know, and I don't care who it is. I'm going to go out, and he's offensive. He doesn't try to just to win at the end and sneak something in, and that's what makes him special is he doesn't think. He doesn't overthink. He just goes out and tries to put points on the scoreboard and does well. He's got good offense. He's got good defense, and he continues to keep getting better every time he steps on the mat, and that's what it's all about, too. But the other thing is I think he's getting more confidence every time he steps on the mat as well, which happens when you start winning matches and winning dual meets for the team, and it's his spot, and he's there to keep it. So, yeah, I'm not sure how Franek got that. Now, Franek had obviously a really good win against Nebraska and a beautiful double shot at the end of that match to win it there, and I wasn't there, obviously, but I jumped out of my seat in the living room when he hit that shot and exploded there myself. It was just a beautiful, beautiful shot. And well done, but then he goes and takes, you know, a big step backwards when he loses to Blockus on Monday night against Minnesota.
Right at the end, too.
Yeah.
Right at the end.
You play fire, eventually you're going to get burned, and that's what happened to Franek, and hopefully that's a good wake-up call. And it's like Coach Tom Brand said in the post-match show that we just wrestled too tight, and these matches don't have to be, and it's something Terry Brands and I were talking about before the meet, is that these matches don't have to be tight. I don't know why people look at, well, I'm ranked 16th, he's ranked 19th, so it should be a pretty close match. Or I'm ranked 1, he's ranked 2, so it should be a close match. Or whatever you're looking at. It doesn't have to be that way. And I just think these guys sometimes, they just think that it's supposed to be close because of for whatever reason. Or they just don't want to work that hard to, you know, like Real Woods has so many opportunities. He gets to get major decisions, and then he just kind of just hits cruise control and just lets the guy push him off the edge, push him over. You know, you get a guy to the edge of a cliff, push him off. And he just doesn't. And it's hard to watch sometimes. And like what happened to Franek, it's going to come back and bite you.
Very good. Several questions about, as you can imagine, about the debut of Ben Keeter. One of those being, how long is it going to take to get him realistically into wrestling shape? And then, yeah, what was your opinion of the debut? Looked good. It kind of went as scripted because he hadn't been wrestling for a while. He went out like a house of fire. Got a little gassed at the end, but got the job done.
Well, you know, he's only been on the map for a couple of weeks.
Right.
And there's a, which we've talked about before, there's a huge difference between football shape and wrestling shape. And obviously, you know, he's a world champion at the junior level and a four-time state champion, and he knows wrestling. But I don't care who you are. If you haven't been on the mat in since, I don't know, when the last time he was on the mat, you know, really, or a live match even for that matter, you know, since this last summer, you know, that's a long time. You're going to be a little bit, your reaction's going to be a little bit slow, a little bit different. And it's going to take a while. But I think the biggest thing is I was talking to him down in the room before the duel, and he was just having a really difficult time relaxing. And it's just the nerves and the excitement and everything that goes with it, you know, being the first time out in Carver Hawk Arena, walking out of that tunnel, being on that mat. There was a lot of built-up nerves and different emotions there. And I think that once he was tired before he even got out of the mat. I mean, that's what happens sometimes. And I don't think he'll let that happen again. It was a good match that he ended up winning and hanging on at the end for the win. It wasn't his best match by any means, but he got the job done. He won. He's got that under his belt. And I think you're going to see him get better and better from here on out. What exactly happens? Who's Tom's going to wrestle on Friday night against Purdue. I don't know. Their Purdue heavyweight's not very good or any good. You know, he's got a losing record. So this would be another good match to throw Keeter out there and just, you know, get another match under his belt for sure. So I would assume that would be the way that he goes and trying to get him as much mat time as we possibly can in a live situation other than just in the room. And the good news is we've got a lot of matches coming up quick. Yeah. So he's going to get into shape. He's going to get into the swing of things here pretty quick. It's not going to take him very long.
Mark, you alluded to 133, and I kind of want to get your opinion on whether Tom Brands is sending Teske a message. Teske has skills, no doubt about it. But this is Schriever is one of four guys who have started at 133. Is there any injury coming into play? Or?
No injury. That was pure Tom just telling Teske, hey, you know what? You had the chance. I mean, you wrestled great at the Soldier Salute, but then you went out and you took a couple steps back against Nebraska. And we got a couple other Fireflies in here that really want a shot at this position, and we're going to give them a shot. And I think that's fair. And when you've got the depth that we have there at 33, I'm like, you know what? Let's use it. Let's see what we got. And I think if he's just trying to send Teske a message to where, hey, just because you win the Soldier Salute when all these other guys on the team were in there, that doesn't mean you have a spot. So you still have to earn it on a regular basis. If you go out and perform like you did against Nebraska, well, this is what's going to happen. This is where you're going to be. So I did talk to Teske a little bit the other night too, and in the locker room, and he was just saying he just thinks too much. He's overthinking a little bit too much when he's out there. He just needs to go out and just wrestle and not think quite so much. And he's a good wrestler. He's a good technical wrestler. He just needs to put it all together. And to be honest with you, I think he's the best man for the job that we have in the room. It's just, but if he can't do it when it counts out in a live situation, then it doesn't really matter how good you are. I think Colin Shriver is right there with him as well, too. I mean, you're going to see Colin Shriver whip up on this kid from Purdue on Friday night. Kale Peterson wrestled okay against the kid from Minnesota. That kid was decent. He was another, I think, a freshman as well, too, or maybe a sophomore or whatever. He wasn't anything great, but that was definitely a winnable match for Kale Peterson. I think that Kurt Frost, the referee, who's normally a great ref, probably my favorite ref out there, he just had an off night, and I think that match, he issued a takedown for the kid from Minnesota, and it definitely was not a two-point or a three-point takedown. It was not there. He said once he slipped the half in, that gave him control. Well, the half had already been slipped in twice prior to that, and it came out right away because he couldn't get it in deep enough to do anything with it. So there was no change in action, and it should have continued to go and give us a chance to win that match. So, but at the same time, we shouldn't have been in that situation either. So I'm not blaming Kurt Frost on the loss of that match, but it didn't do us any favors either. I'd like to have seen him go back to their feet and settle on the feet.
Yeah. Aside from Keeter, and they're both listed coming up for Friday night, Tell you what, give Hill a lot of credit because he wrestled a really good match on Friday night, beating Huttmacher.
Yeah, he looked good. That was a big match for him. That was the best match I've seen Hill wrestle all year long, for sure.
And Huttmacher's their fan favorite. I mean, that was the polar bear was coming out. They had the whole thing going.
Huttmacher is their fan favorite, but we don't really know how good he is. I mean, he's big. He's a fan favorite because of the story, and it's really cool, and it's neat to have. But, I mean, until we get through the Big Ten championship season, we really don't know how good he is. But I tell you what, Bradley Hill proved that he's better than he is, better than Huttmacher. So, you know, good for Bradley Hill. And that was a big match for him, and it really helped solidify the dual meet, put an exclamation point on it, kind of stifle the Nebraska fans, the Nebraska coaches, the Nebraska bench, kind of take away any kind of glory that they thought they were maybe going to have that night. And then we walked out, hopped on a plane, and I shouldn't say we. I didn't have to, but they walked out, hopped on a plane, and flew home. So that's how it's supposed to be done right there. We just could have used a little bit, few more lopsided major decision victories would have been nice.
A part of the triple header Friday night, Mark, as you probably know, is Penn State and Michigan. Penn State should win this duel, but Michigan's got some skilled wrestlers. What are your thoughts about that match?
I don't know. I mean, Penn State's going to win handily. I mean, there's just nobody in the same league as Penn State. And until they falter a little bit and slip a little bit, I mean, you can't take that away from them. I mean, there is just nobody. You got Penn State, you know, as your top dog in the country right now, and then you got everybody else. And I don't know. We'll see what Michigan can do against them. It'll be interesting dual meet just to see if they can push Penn State at all, really, at all whatsoever. But I'm looking forward to recording it and then watching it later, but I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what happens. I just don't think that right now anybody's in the going to knock Penn State off the way that they have just so much depth. They're so strong up and down. They have no holes.
They're unanimous number one right now.
Yeah.
For a reason.
Yeah.
Iowa number three, Iowa State number four, Okie State is five, Nebraska six. Ohio State is in at seven. Missouri still at number two.
I wish we'd wrestle them. I just can't believe we're literally next door neighbors, and we don't wrestle them. It's just, I don't know. I wish we'd somehow, some way, like I could keep saying, there would be a perfect candidate to come up and wrestle in the Soldier Salute.
Yeah, well, maybe next year. Maybe next year.
Maybe we'll get Josh Schomburger on that. Make something happen
to get that going. Anyway. It was a good atmosphere. I mean, hey, kudos with all the snow this past week and just bitterly cold temperatures, not only in Iowa City, but I know Iowa State and Utah Valley State. There are people who had to cross-country ski to get to that match. I mean, that tells you about the mentality of wrestling fans in this state.
They're diehards, there's for sure. I mean, all our fans for every sport in our state are diehards. I mean, we don't have a professional sports team in the state of Iowa, and so our sports, our collegiate sports is what it is, and it's really cool, and we're a unique state in that, you know, format, and it's really, really neat to see, and it was neat to see what they did over there at Iowa State and hosted you and I, and Doug got his guys and drove over to Ames and made that dual meet happen. So that's what it's about, and you know, it's neat to see. But I mean, heck, you look at the women's basketball game, the time before that.
Oh, on Saturday night.
On Saturday night when the weather was terrible, there's probably 14,000 people there. It's just like, you got to be kidding me. You know, I mean, that's what I'm talking about. It's not just wrestling. It's our fans just in general that show up. I think the other night for our dual meet against Minnesota on Monday night, which it was Monday night, it's a week night. It was cold. It was on TV live, it was on radio, and we still had 8 to 10. I don't know what the official was, but it's probably 8 to 10,000 people in the arena, which normally, I mean, most any other, that's more than any other freaking team in the country would ever get in a million years, except for Penn State. So that's doing really good, and it says something for our fans.
Yeah. Is the, go ahead, Mark.
You and Maggie are the top fundraisers for the plunge at 12K, but I know you'd like to have a whole lot more, and there's a couple days here to kick in, right?
I need to get to 20. I have to get to 20, or
Isaac,
I'm gonna I'm going to hear it from Tom and Chad Beatty, the executive director of the Hawkeye Wrestling Club. So, yeah, if anybody's out there listening, I'm scrapping. I know I got a few pledgers coming in yet. They're going to get me up to about 15, 16, but I'm still going to have to come up with an extra 3 or 4 somewhere that I don't know where it's going to come from. So if anybody wants to go to the Hawkeye Wrestling Club website, just hawkeyewrestlingclub.com and go to the events page and scroll down to the Polar Arctic Plunge and click on that, then you can click on Maggie and I's page and go pledge. So I think the plunge just in general is just not me. People just don't have the funds like right now, like they probably normally do. And it's completely understandable with the economy and the way things are. Plus, it's going to be cold. We don't have as many jumpers this year, and it's going to be frigid. When they say Arctic plunge, this is
like below zero.
It's going to be Arctic type weather. Okay, I mean the high is 1 degree, the low is -15. So whatever that is, at about probably 5:30, 6 o'clock at night with the wind chill, it's not going to feel good. Probably honestly, the water will probably feel warmer than the air outside, and that's sad.
Has Maggie picked out anything yet?
No, she has not. She hasn't done anything. All I know, I'll probably just, you know, I don't know.
Is she going to be there?
She will be there. I will make her, I will drag her by her hair and kick her right in the butt and freaking get your butt in there and she'll go. So she knows she has a choice. She signed up for it. She said yes. She knows she's not getting off the hook that easy. So,
no. No. 85-82 wishes Iowa wrestled you and I every year.
I do, too. I do, too. You know, if we're going to have a Monday night, why can't we have a Thursday night like we used to when we wrestle you and I every single year? It's just, it's very unfortunate for the sport of wrestling in the state of Iowa when we can't wrestle a really good team with a former Hawkeye as a coach, you know, and he's only 40 miles up the road. And I don't know what all the, I mean, I've heard this and that from both sides, Doug and Tom or whatever, but you know what, at the end of the day, do what's the best thing for the sport and let's get after it. And it would be really, really good for the state of Iowa.
It would very good indeed. And well, I wish you good luck on Saturday night. I'm glad you're doing it.
Hey, I will. I'm telling you right now, I consider myself probably one of the mentally or tough people out there probably. But when it comes to jumping in a frozen pond, and it's not like you just jump in and hop right back out. You jump in and you still got, I mean, you still got probably 15 feet that you got to swim to even get out of the water. It's like you can't just jump in and hop out. You got to move your legs. You got to move your arms. And then getting out is no easy task, too, because it's super deep right there. And I don't like being cold. I don't like that cold at all. So
I'm with
this
you.
This is tough on me. I've been doing it since, I think the first year we did this was like 2007, 2008. So I've been doing it every single year. And it never gets easier. Never gets easier.
Probably gets worse.
I don't know.
We're getting older.
Like,
man.
I said, I was trying to train the other night by sitting in that cold pool for a full entire minute, and that was rough on me. And that was coming out of the sauna, too, so I was hot, and it was like, whoa, this is rough.
Iowa-Purdue on Friday night. We'll talk about that if you're here next Wednesday after the plunge.
I will be here.
You're going to be
know,
okay.
I don't know if all of me will be here, but I will be here, okay?
Good luck, man.
All right. Thanks, fellas. Mark, take care, buddy. Hopefully I see you again here sometime soon.
You got it, Marcus.
All right. See you, buddy.
All right. We're going to take a break, come back. We'll have a Bowling Night in America preview. We will have we'll talk a little bit about the Iowa women last night over Wisconsin, the Iowa State men, and more when we return after this here in the Gym Class on KGYM.
Do you have 3 ex-wives and your current trophy wife wants a life insurance policy 3 times the size of the policies you had to purchase for your previous mistakes? If so, you need to call Big Lou at Term Provider, 800-568-2790. Big Lou is intimately familiar with your problems, and if you're 50 or 60 years old and in reasonably good health, a $1 million policy should only cost about $100 to $200 per month. Big Lou may have a solution for your previous policies as well. You may even save enough money to lighten the load on your new $1 million policy. Remember, call Big Lou. He's like you, except he's only on number 2. Call Term Provider at 800-568-2790. That's 800-568-2790. For $1 million in term life insurance that you can live with, call Big Lou at 800-568-2790.
Bay City Bowl is always a good time, Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, Bay City Bowl does it right. A full-service pro shop for serious bowlers.
And fun for everyone, like Glow Bowling Friday and Saturday nights.
Our team, the Rusty Nails, is in the adult league, but they have leagues for every age and skill.
And you can call ahead for open lane times.
So whether you're leaguers or just want to have fun, it's always a great time at Bay City Bowl off Williams Boulevard, Southwest in Cedar Rapids. The official sponsor of Bowling Night in America on the gym.
3:49 back on a Wednesday edition of the Gym Class from the Econ Nutrition Studios here on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. Scott, Mark, and Isaac with you. Our thanks again to Mark Ironside for joining us. His appearance, as always, brought to you by Kurt Gustafson Agency of American Family Insurance on Johnson Avenue Northwest in Cedar Rapids. We will get to a Bowling Night in America preview here in just a couple of moments, but Mark, there was basketball last night. We talked about Caden Proctor and what his future plans could be at the beginning of the program, but we do need to get to basketball. And the question du jour from last night would be, why on earth, if you're the Wisconsin women's basketball team, would you poke the bear like they did last night with Caitlin Clark? That's just, Isaac, you talked about Bills fans jumping on fire-lit tables. This is about as intelligent as that is.
Especially with a team who's beaten you
27 times in a row.
Not the smartest move.
Why would they do that, Mark? Why would they poke the bear and get on Caitlin Clark last night?
I have no explanation aside from jealousy, maybe.
I mean, that is very odd. That was an odd piece of strategy, Cotton, and it did not work out very well for them. Iowa winning the 28th straight against Wisconsin without Hannah Stuhlke last night. And tell you, if Caitlin does what she does in the and the folks around her keep doing what they're doing, if Molly Davis continues this pace, Kate Martin does what she does, this is going to be a tough team to beat.
Yeah, it is. I think it still needs help on the inside. Hannah Stuhlke didn't play last night. Not sure of her status. But it's going to be a tough out for anybody that it plays. And Clark moves into fourth all-time on the scoring list among women. And I think she's probably three games away from going into third. So that meter will be ticking for the rest of the year.
It will be. Men's college basketball tonight. It is UNI. The Panthers will be on the road. They will be at Belmont. Drake is on the road in Mo Valley play tonight as well. They are over in Bloomington Normal taking on Illinois State. Obviously a tough one for UNI and Belmont. We'll talk about that and other college basketball stories tomorrow. Kevin Lehman, the coach, will join us. It'll be our Off the Glass segment. Last night, we knew it was going to be a tough game. It was a chippy night in college basketball. You had a double bird incident between North Carolina State and Wake Forest. It was a crazy, crazy night. You had Hassan Ward and what happened with him against BYU. Cougars playing without arguably their best player, and BYU really hit the gas pedal offensively in the second half. And far too many turnovers last night for Iowa State to win a road game in the Big 12 as BYU prevails 87-72 last night.
Yeah, not a good game for Iowa State with that has the reputation of playing excellent defense, giving up 87 points to BYU, 48 in the second half, and BYU had 13 threes, and we knew it was going to be a tough road trip, and now there's another one coming up.
Yeah, against TCU, and yeah, that's the men's story on that. There will not be a game
between Iowa State and TCU on the women's side, as the Horned Frogs have had to forfeit that game as well as another game. They have injury problems down in Fort Worth. So, 13-45, an unusual situation. But it does help Iowa State. They stay undefeated in league play by virtue of that forfeit. So, no COVID or anything like that. This is just an injury situation from what we understand as far as TCU women's basketball is concerned.
Yeah, very strange and unfortunate. And unfortunate for Iowa State because, what happens at Hilton Coliseum for basketball, and women's basketball, true. But that game will not be played. Iowa State will be credited with the victory.
2-0 or 1-0. I really don't know if they give you 2-0 or 1-0. But an unusual situation nonetheless. Right there for the Iowa State women. Iowa, of course, in action next. The men on Saturday afternoon at 1 o'clock when they will take on Zach Edey and the number 2-rated Purdue Boilermakers at Carver Hawkeye Arena. And we've got bowling to talk about, Mark. It is a Bowling Night in America preview, and it is brought to you by May City Bowl on Trent Street Southwest in Cedar Rapids, the home of Bowling Night in America. And get to see some old friends tonight. Very good team that we will battle this evening.
Yes, indeed. No unbeatens in men's college Big Ten basketball. Wisconsin got beat last night. No unbeatens in the adult Evergreen League. Durline Scales, the opponent tonight for the Rusty Nails, lanes 27 and 28. Both of us are tied for sixth in the league in the second half of this season. Of course, well documented that the Nails took the first half, but the Durlines and everybody else on that team, tough out.
Kevin Klein and everybody over there will have a good time against those guys coming up this evening. And if you'd like to inquire about open bowling and just everything under the sun as far as the bowling industry and the bowling world is concerned, you can give them a call out there.
You can indeed. 362-0136 is the phone number. You can visit the website as well, maycitybowlcr.com.
Speaking of the Iowa State women, we do have Cyclone women's basketball coming up tonight. They will play in Lubbock, Texas. They will take on the Red Raiders of Texas Tech tonight. We will join up at 6 o'clock right after Spencer on Sports. Takes you from 4 until 6 right here on 1600 ESPN. And they are going to tip that one off tonight just past 6 o'clock. And Texas Tech's record, not too bad. They're not expected to be one of the top teams in the Big 12 women's basketball season. But life on the road is very hard no matter what.
Yeah, men, women, whatever it may be. And we see it every night, every week. We'll talk more about basketball tomorrow with Kevin Lehman, right?
We will. And, 0835 saying the latest with Nate Oates of Alabama shoved a player last night. Like I said, it was just a really odd night in college basketball last night. You had some incidents. You had flagrant twos. You had people kicked out. You had the North Carolina State player, who has since apologized, by the way, for his behavior last night. But it was just one of those nights, I guess. You chalk it up, right?
Yeah, I suppose. Meanwhile, stay on Caden Proctor watch, people.
There we go. More on that with Spencer on Sports coming your way next right here on KGYM.
Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan.
Hey guys, did you know there's a generic form of Viagra that works just the same, but is 95% cheaper? And you can get it online? Just go to Hims.com/joy. Through Hims.